Okay. JP is our speaker. He's going to speak for 20 minutes on step 11. Go ahead. It's all yours, JP.
Thank you, Sandy. My name is JP. I'm a member of AASA, Al-Anon, Workaholics Anonymous, and other Rageaholics Anonymous. I have the pleasure to be here tonight, or today, let's say, in many different time zones. Hi, everybody. I just finished the BBA work last week. Actually, there's still some last pages to read in the 12th step, but it's an honor to have been invited already to your meeting to speak about. I mean, my favorite step is always step 11. It doesn't matter which program. This is how I connected, or what helped me most to get on a new path, and substituting whatever that was the substance, and put my life in the hands of God, and really try to establish the contact again and again, day by day. And so I would just read the I will just read once the step 11, just to tune in. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. For me, I my first meetings were in German speaking meetings, and they didn't translate meditation as meditation. They used something like contemplating, or something alike. The word in the books, then here and there, it comes like meditation, but the step itself is not translated in AA as meditation, and somehow it was not the same. And I was I mean, I was a rebel probably from the beginning on, trying to adapt certain things in the German speaking meetings, which I saw, or in the US meetings. I went early in my 12-step career also to the US to visit the meetings to see how they do it there. I had a lot of conflict with later on when I did also work more the traditions, and it's not a good thing to compare meetings. However, I'm very happy I found the BBA, because it really goes deep, and although I worked earlier also the big book in different ways, this was really one of the how to say, really a deep dive, and especially with the questions. I mean, to question the things in a way that do they apply to me, while reading this over 100, the first 100 pages. And so that really was really a good experience, because it made me, after I'm now over 20 years going to 12-step meetings, and at some point, I mean, it becomes normal, it becomes repetitive, and sometimes I don't question anymore, and I also sometimes honestly don't know anymore where am I actually now in this path. Am I still on track, or am I doing this after hearing so many things again and again? So it was really refreshing. And what I wanted to share also, what hit me, or hit me, what took my attention, especially this time when going through the 11th step. We started at the end of the 11th step, which is page 88, on that we become more efficient. and do not tire so easily, for I'm not burning up my energy foolishly, as I did when I was trying to arrange life to suit myself. And this is really a topic for me. I'm trying to reduce my work hours, you know, I reduce to optimize everything. I'm also married, have two kids, you know, so time is really something very precious, and I don't want to waste it. And the concept that is offered here to really do only his will, yeah, thy will be done, not mine, yeah. How much energy I save on a daily basis by not pushing anybody, yeah, I mean, especially my wife and the kids, which are the ones that suffer the most from my behavior, to completely let go and really just ask how can I be at help? And while doing that, saving energy, yeah, I mean, and be more efficient. I mean, this is really, yeah, I mean, that should go in every management book, yeah. I mean, because this is really, like a secret, actually, you know. I mean, how to be successful in life and not waste energy, because I mean, I, at work, I'm also a workaholic, so I know how often I did things fast, or I think I was fast, and then I had to redo it and redo it and redo it, you know, and then look at the longer time, and then to look at it at how much time I used for something that then at the end could have been done in 2 hours, you know, or at a later time, more efficient when everybody was on board, or so many things happened to me where I could see that sometimes the best way is not to get involved, not to run the show, you know, and step back, yeah. But of course, sometimes it in society, it's, for me, the biggest challenge is always, oh, what do the other think? When I don't share my opinion, or if I don't have an opinion, even, you know, and just lean back and observe. Yeah? And so that fear, yeah, that kicks in. Is of course part of my pattern, but to know, yeah, you know, to have this written in the big book that this would be now waste of energy, I would not be efficient. It gives me a lot of hold not to fall back in my default patterns, but my patterns by default. Because I know actually it's a waste of time and energy. So these days, some more background information. So I'm in business and I'm in startups, and that was also the focus on the BBA work now, to not to chaos, I mean, chaos creating. And so I'm a notorious startup founder. Yeah, I mean, I'm now about to found the fourth startup, but this time in a different way, because I'm not in the driver's seat anymore. I always have this picture that actually my higher power should run the business. I mean, should drive, and I'm this super nervous co-driver, co-pilot that all the time tells the driver, the pilot, where to go, what to stop. Oh, the traffic light is red. Oh, there's a pedestrian. Oh, turn right. Oh, go faster, go slower, you know, and the, like this, yeah, impatient and not relaxed co-pilot, and that actually should sit in the second row Speaking honestly, I think my the best place would be actually in the trunk, for me, not to be, not even look at the street actually, and let just my higher power drive. And I think that's the picture I have, you know. So I should not not interfere. Yeah? And some time ago, you probably know Dr. Paul. He wrote also a book about "You Can't Make Me Angry," and he made a contract with the higher power, saying that it's a 50-50 agreement. So he founded kind of a an adventure or whatever, joint venture with his higher power, saying that that they will do a 50-50 agreement, and he takes care of the daily food work, and the higher power is in charge of the results. And that the higher power doesn't like to that somebody interferes in the in its business, and that the higher power will never interfere in the other one's business, you know, which is the daily food work. And so it's a very clean and clear 50-50 agreement, so I also have to think about that. And that helps me a lot to discipline also myself, because I'm not disciplined. It's always a temptation to intervene, you know? And especially also now with my kids, they're slowly becoming teenagers, and they have their own life, right? And my wife has her own life, and at work the same, yeah. So to let people, and also ask for consent, you know, when before I give an opinion, if I really feel like I need to share whatever I need to share, is to ask, is it a good moment? Yeah, to wait for the right moment, ask if the other one is also ready to hear what I want to urgently share, yeah. And then very often anyway the situation changes, the words that I want to use or wanted to use also change, and this is a little bit I hope I don't deviate too much, but this is also what this is, like, let's say what comes to me when I ask my higher power to give me some direction and direct my thinking, and this giving time is one of the, yeah, I mean, this giving time, if it's to the kids, to the wife, to co-workers, and myself, yeah, because everything changes. If I immediately react to something, I use different words than when I breathe three times or think over, and 10 seconds later I use different words, and the reaction is different, and the whole situation changes, you know? So I'm getting to practice this currently a lot, also at work, yeah, because people sometimes also insult me, yeah, because I have a different opinion. They call me whatever, daydreamer, pushover, witch burner. This last year I heard so many things. So this was one of the reasons why very often I didn't say anything, but it was more out of fear. Now I try to wait for the right moment and share my view, and be also fearless about what others think and what how they are going to react. But I see it as my duty, especially at work, to share my opinion. Yeah. So to be only silent, yeah, and not to say anything is also not the right thing. But to wait for the right moment, yeah, or wait for my turn. And very often people ask me, so what do you say? What's your opinion? Also today I had a meeting with some investors, and then they asked me, I couldn't join them physically, so I was the only one online, like we are now here, and we were sitting in the room. And then I also shared, and I was about not to say anything because everything was actually okay. But then I also thought, I say now my view, I share my view, which was anyway nothing special now, but also to say something because everybody was in the room, and I felt like this was the right thing, and I trust more and more this feeling. At the beginning, like it says also, when we could not be inspired all the time, and definitely couldn't, and I did a lot of I paid a lot for not being inspired all the time, in being inexperienced. Thank you, Sandy. But I got the feeling for what is my higher power's voice and what is this ego voice. Yeah, I mean, I don't know if you remember these cartoons earlier. They had always this little angel on the shoulder that was talking, and then there was this little devil that was also talking into the ear. You know, and for me, it's also like, I mean, the more I listen to the angel on my shoulder, the louder the voice gets, and the more it's easier to follow that voice. Yeah, and the little devil's voice is becoming lower and lower. I hear it. Yeah, it's there. It's probably part of the game. Ego will never be completely gone, but the voice of the angel, so to say, on my shoulder is getting louder and louder, because I follow it more and more. Yeah? And the more I follow that voice, at the beginning I had difficulties to identify it because I didn't know what is right and what is wrong. But now, yeah, I get the feeling, and sometimes I don't know. And it's, yeah, it happened to me sometimes. I really also didn't know, for example, is it right or is it left? Yeah, to walk somewhere, I had to go somewhere. And sometimes I go right. Yeah, let's say I go right. Yeah, and it suddenly the feeling suddenly changes, and it doesn't feel right. And I go back to the play, to the starting point, and then I turn left, and that feels right. And then I go left, and sometimes it's I cannot explain it. Yeah, but there is something, and it's like I should not go this way because whatever. I mean, I had the choice, and then I change my opinion, and I trust this feeling, and sometimes I cannot really explain it. Yeah, maybe like now I could also not explain it so well, but it's just the point is that I'm more aware, or I try to be more conscious about this voice that is telling me something. Yeah, and sometimes certain things happen, sometimes certain things don't happen, and then suddenly I'll go left. And I meet somebody that I didn't meet since a long time. I have a little chat, maybe insignificant, but however, yeah. And if I would have gone right, probably I would have not met that person, but maybe I would have met somebody else. I mean, I will never know, but whatever. Important for me is to listen to that voice, and step 11 definitely helps me to practice that and to rely on that voice, yeah, because my head and my ego is just too rigid. Yeah, it makes too many rituals, and it's becoming then also superstitious and things like this. Yeah, and to avoid that, for me, meditation is crucial. And I also have a practice that I do. So I meditate in the morning, also already since quite some years, and that helps me to tune in into the day, and then when the day is over and all the things are done, I also have it's also a meditation exercise where I imagine that all the impressions of the day leave me again, and I have a prayer to keep me safe over the night, so to say. So the idea is to get into a 24-hour connection with my higher power, yeah, starting in the morning, establishing the contact, and then finishing the day, and then also a prayer. And I think that was did work for me and it keeps working for me, and Yeah, and for me, important is also that it doesn't become a cult or religion. It's a spiritual program, and what is right for one person might not be the right thing for another person. And to, yeah, for me, it was important to trust myself. I mean, just I don't know how many minutes I have, but just like, I mean, when I got to know my wife, nobody really said yes, go ahead. Oh, she's from another culture, another country, from another continent, and not even my father. He didn't come to my wedding. We married like 2, 3 times because of the different countries, and he didn't come to once. But today I'm happily married for more than 16 years, and I don't regret once. But I had to trust my feeling in that moment because my head was saying, no, don't do this. And also, your friends told you, why are you doing this? You don't know what's going to happen. And what is the religion of your kids going to be? And I was like, well, you will figure it out, right? And this is something that I'm happy I learned also early in the program, that I really need to trust myself. Yeah, I need to trust this voice. Yeah, and also have the courage. Yeah, in French, the word courage comes from cœur. They say courage, but it comes from heart, right? And so you need a lot of heart to be courageous and to sometimes to put this in action. What we actually feel, what our higher power wants us to do, requires a lot of courage. Yeah, and but yeah, no pain, no pain, no gain. So yeah, thank you for having me, and thank you for letting me share. I hope I I fulfilled the requirements of the speaker today. I guess it is my first time, but yeah. Thank you very much, and looking forward.